Now, shall we sing hymn number 165? Number 165, the perfect righteousness of God is witnessed in the Saviour's blood. 'Tis in the cross of Christ we trace his righteousness, his wondrous grace. God could not pass the sinner by. His sins demand that he must die. But in the cross of Christ we see how God can save, yet righteous be. Last verse is how wondrous the redemption plan, designed by God for ruined man, his blessed Son in death laid low, that he might endless life bestow. Number 165, it's convenient, we'll rise to sing.
Is witnessed in the Saviour's blood. 'Tis in the cross of Christ we trace his righteousness, his wondrous grace. God could not pass the sinner by. His sins demand that he must die, but in the cross of Christ we see how God can save it righteously. The judgment fell on Jesus.
Now let us ask God's blessing on our coming together this evening. Let us pray. Our Father, we draw near to thee in the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank thee, Father, for these great words that we have been singing concerning thy righteousness and concerning thy justice and yet concerning thy love. And we thank thee, Father, for the wondrous grace that found a plan to rescue guilty fallen man. We bow this evening and thank thee that we're here for the preaching of the gospel of thy grace concerning thy Son, presenting that person who is the Saviour of the world and is able to save to the uttermost all that come unto thee through him. We thank thee that thou hast provided such a great Saviour, one who is able, and we thank thee he's ready this evening to save. And thus, our Father, we thank thee for an opportunity when we can make this gospel known. And we ask that help will be given this evening in spite of our weakness and our need, that thou wilt draw near, that thou wilt speak to hearts this evening, and grant our Father that the Lord Jesus Christ will be exalted and he will be attractive to some in the meeting this evening. For remember how he could say that if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all unto me. And surely, our Father, the lifting up of thy beloved Son upon the cross is a drawing power this evening. And as we look upon that perfect man, so ill-treated by his fellow men, hanging upon a cross, and yet we know that it's the perfect righteousness of God that's displayed there, and that his death was to satisfy thy righteous demands, so that thou couldst be just and the justifier of him that believeth in Jesus. And thus, our Father, we pray that he might be this evening lifted up in the gospel, and that a soul will be drawn to him. Thou knowest those who do not know the Savior. We pray for them, some in our meeting, some, our Father, listening online. And we thank thee for each one who has tuned in this evening, and ask that thy voice will be heard in their hearts. For we know that the voice of the speaker is only a human voice. And yet, Father, we are the earthen vessel this evening, and we're looking to thee that the power that is in the gospel will be displayed by thyself, and it will please thee to speak to hearts this evening and to save precious souls. We thank thee for the gospel, and we pray that it will be blessed here this evening, that it will be blessed wherever it is made known in our land today, and it will be blessed right around the world, that sinners would be drawn to the Savior and saved. This is our prayer, and we make our request in our Lord Jesus' precious name. Amen. Now, we're glad to see each one who is at the meeting this evening. We make you very welcome. We're not too big at this time of the year, but still we're glad to see you who have come. And there will be those who are listening online. Again, we'd like you to know that we appreciate you taking the time to listen to us this evening, and we trust that the preaching of the gospel will be a blessing to you. And if there are those connected to us, listening to us, not saved, that this might be the very evening when you will come to the Savior. What a great day it would be if there was a soul saved on this very day. So we make you welcome tonight, and then one or two announcements. On Thursday evening, there will be a prayer meeting in this hall commencing at 7:45. And then next Lord's Day, the breaking of bread at 11, the prayer meeting at 6:30, and the gospel meeting at 7. And the speaker expected next week will be our brother T.J. McCann from Kilmore. Now, these meetings are announced in the will of the Lord. And, of course, there's a warm invitation to you to come. I'd like to read just a short passage from 1 Timothy in chapter number 1. 1 Timothy in chapter 1. starting to read at verse number 12. I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry. Of course, as we read these words, we remember that it is Paul, the apostle, who's writing them to Timothy, who was before a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Howbeit, for this cause I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all longsuffering for a pattern of them which should hereafter believe on him to life everlasting. Now, unto the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. Now, we know that God will bless the reading of his own precious word. As we think of another gospel meeting, we might ask ourselves, what's the point and what's the purpose of having a gospel meeting? Well, it is simply this, that we might see a soul saved. As we preach the gospel and speak concerning the blessed Lord Jesus Christ, the Savior, that there might be someone who would be saved, who would be converted this evening. I've read tonight here of a man who has written that his conversion was a pattern. He says a pattern for all them, to all them, which hereafter should believe. And that's what I want to speak to you tonight about, is a pattern conversion. A pattern conversion. Now, it's interesting, the word conversion is much in our media, as you might well know. And I am not interested tonight in what they're writing in the media. Even as late as last week in the King's Speech, the word conversion occurred. As far as the Bible is concerned, the word conversion occurs once, only once in the Bible, in the New Testament. In Acts, we read about Paul telling about the conversion of the Gentiles. Now, that's the conversion I want to talk about tonight. It's the conversion of sinners. It is described for us in lovely language in 1 Thessalonians, how they turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God. That's biblical conversion, and that's what I want to talk about tonight. And while the word only occurs once as such in our New Testament, there's maybe about 39 other references where a similar word is used, and normally it's translated turn, to be turned, or turn, to turn to God from idols. It's the same, it's really basically the same word. One's a verb and one's a noun. And so it does occur a number of times. And it's that conversion, the turning to God from idols to serve the living and true God, that I want to speak about tonight. And I'll tell you this, it's an absolute essential. Without a day of conversion, and without a conversion to God, you'll not be in heaven. The Bible is very clear to us that we've all been born on the broad way that's heading to destruction. And thus, if we're ever going to be in heaven, there's got to be a turn. That's conversion, to be a turn. Instead of heading towards destruction, to head towards glory. That's the way we want to look at it this evening, for we all need it, and it's absolutely vital, and without it, we'll not be in heaven. So Paul here speaks about his own conversion as a sample, or a pattern, or an illustration. And of course, his conversion is well documented in Scripture. Acts chapter 9, look there, describes the event as he was heading down to Damascus, breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the people of God. Suddenly he was stopped. Instead of going to destroy the name of Christ and the people of Christ, he was totally turned. That's conversion. Totally turned that day. And from hating the people of God, he became one of them and loved them. A real conversion it was. And he has described it himself in Acts chapter 22, when he was speaking to the mob that wanted his blood. And he spoke to them on the steps there at the temple. And he was able to tell them about how that God had spoken to him with a light from heaven, and how he had seen the risen Christ. Also before King Agrippa, he again told them in plain and simple and clear terms the great event of his conversion. And the crux of his conversion was this. He saw the risen Christ. The man that he thought was an impostor, the carpenter from Nazareth, he discovered that day he was alive. He was in heaven. He was Jesus of Nazareth. I am Jesus whom thou persecutest, the voice said. And he understood that day that the one who died upon the cross outside Jerusalem's walls was now in heaven in glory. And that made all the difference. And so he realized Christ was a great Savior. And he went and he preached from that day forward that Christ is the Savior of sinners. Christ is the Savior for me. And so he turned that day. He was converted. I want to look just at one or two things he says about his pattern conversion. And I want to notice, first of all, in verse number 12, he says, I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the service, into his service. I want to tell you this. The Apostle Paul, Saul of Tarsus, who became the Apostle Paul, was ever thankful for that day in his life. He never ceased to wonder that he was saved, that he had been converted. And he thanked God day in and day out. He was so thankful, and we would understand that as we read through the scriptures. Not, mind you, that his life was an easy life. We can read of the many times he suffered for Christ. He suffered much. He had very hard times indeed, in prison and ill treatment. And yet, he says, I thank the Lord. I'll tell you something. I've never met anyone who regretted being saved. Never regretted anyone who had a true conversion of which we're speaking tonight, where they turned to God and put their trust in his Son. Thankfulness is something that is in our hearts. We thank God every day. I thank God every day that he saved me. I'm not worthy. I tell him that every day. But yet he has saved me. And your heart is full of thanks to be saved, if you're really saved. Then he says something else in verse number 13. He says, who was before a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. He understood this, that a mercy was needed. He understood that he was a sinner. Now, the Apostle Paul, as Saul of Tarsus, he was a Pharisee, and he was a stickler for the law of Moses. And he probably would have been like that man we read of in Luke chapter 18, the Pharisee who went up into the temple to pray and told God about all the good things he had done and how he had paid his dues and how he had prayed and how good he was. The Saul of Tarsus would have been like that. He was a stickler for the law and a real Pharisee to the heart. But he discovered on the Damascus road that he was a sinner. He was going in the wrong direction, and that what he was doing was actually blasphemy. It was persecution. It was injurious. He was actually putting the people to death who believed in Jesus. He understood that day that he was a sinner and he needed mercy. He had no merits to plead. All his law keeping had gone out the window. He needed mercy. And so, in a pattern conversion, mercy is needed. To understand this, I'm a sinner. And I deserve to be in hell because of my sin. But I need mercy. The withholding of the judgment that I'm due. I need it because I'm a sinner. I have nothing to plead. We are all sinners. The Bible says we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. How true it is. Vital part in a conversion to understand this. I'm a sinner. I can do nothing to save myself. I have nothing to offer. But then he says something else in verse number 14. He says the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. He discovered that grace was available. Grace, mercy is withholding the judgment that you deserve. Grace is a giving of something you don't deserve. A gift. And he discovered that day that God was willing to forgive him, willing to offer him eternal life, willing to save him by his grace. God was a God of abundant grace. Bible tells us where sin abounded, and it did as far as the Saul of Tarsus was concerned. Sin abounded, but grace much more abounded. That undeserved kindness of God, that God has provided, and he has provided a remedy for all mankind. And we often sing, none need perish, all may live, for Christ has died. He has made provision that all men should be saved. And he wills that all men should be saved. And today I want to tell you, there's grace available. We're saved by faith, we're saved through faith. We're saved by faith, by grace through faith, and not of ourselves. It is the gift of God. Salvation is available as a gift, but it has to be received as a gift. We can't work for it, can't earn it, we can't pay for it. It is a gift that God is going to give to us. But a response is needed. The grace abounds. God has, in his greatness of his heart, made it available for all mankind. But all mankind will not be saved. Because, you see, there has to be a response. And he tells us what it should be. Faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. That's what happened on the Damascus Road. And he told us that. He told Agrippa that. King Agrippa, when he was speaking to Agrippa, he says to King Agrippa, he says, I was not disobedient. When he saw the evidence that was before him and what God had done, he says, I was not disobedient. He believed. He rested. He accepted what the scriptures had said. And so he was saved. And he explains to us why. Why it is that it's faith and love in Christ Jesus. Because in verse 15, we have the Savior. The Savior provided. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. That was a tremendous revelation to the Saul of Tarsus on the Damascus Road, that God had sent his own Son into the world to go to the cross, to give his life, to endure the wrath of God for him, that he might be saved. Christ Jesus came into the world. And that man who he had rejected as of no account, as an imposter, he discovered on the Damascus Road it was Christ Jesus from heaven, the Son of God who had come and gone to the cross to pay the price of sin. And so that is the very crux of the gospel message. And that's where our confidence is this evening. It's in the fact that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. We're all sinners. We all need saved. But there's one who has come. The great Son of God has come to deal with the question of our sin. And so we present him this evening to you, the one who has gone to the cross, the one who has endured the wrath of God for sinners so they could be forgiven. We present him to you as the one who is able to save tonight, the mighty Savior, one who is able to save. As he hung upon the cross, there were those who passed by and mocked, and he saved others. Himself he cannot save. How true they were. He wasn't going to save himself. He could have saved himself, but he couldn't have saved us then. But he didn't save himself, and he has saved millions. Are you amongst them? That very day we have on the cross a beautiful example of conversion. That thief that was on one side beside the Savior. As the afternoon commenced, the morning commenced, he was reeling on Christ. Maybe he was using those words, save us. Seems to they had. But as time progressed, there was a change. That thief beside the Savior said, we indeed justly, we receive the due reward of our deeds. He understood that he needed mercy. But he saw that there was one beside him full of grace. He says, Lord, remember me. And he turned and put his trust in that one. Today shalt thou be with me in paradise. What a wonderful day for him. What a wonderful day this would be if someone just turned and understood that Christ died for me and has paid the price. He's a great Savior. He's the Savior of the world. He's my Savior. He's a Savior who's able to save to the uttermost. But he's the only Savior. The only Savior. The only one. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And he is the only one who is able to save. And he's able to save tonight. What a night it would be if you were to put your trust in him. And that brings us really to today. And puts a focus on us now. As he brings it before us in verse number 16. That he is a pattern of the long-suffering. To show forth a pattern, all long-suffering, for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him. To life eternal or life everlasting. A pattern of God's long-suffering. I wonder how long some listening to me may have listened to the gospel and haven't responded yet. Saul of Tarsus must have been like that too. Maybe not so very long, we can't tell. But when the Lord spoke to him from heaven on the Damascus road, he said, Saul, it's hard for you to kick against the pricks. I've been struggling with you, Saul. I have been prodding you as you stood at the martyrdom of Stephen. It must have troubled his heart to hear that man say, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. And he was looking after the garments of those that were casting the stones. He was being prodded. The Holy Spirit was working on him. And he says, it's hard for you to kick against the pricks. So he's a pattern of long. God is long-suffering. He's not willing that any should perish. He wants you to come. He wants you to come now. And that pattern, 2,000 years ago, you say, 2,000 years ago or so, when Saul of Tarsus was converted on the Damascus Road, what relevance is it today? He says, it's a pattern to all them that should hereafter, that's now, hereafter believe. And so tonight, the pattern is this. If you want salvation, if you want to be converted, if you want to be in heaven, you need to believe. That's just the bottom line, as we would talk about, the crux of the gospel message. God has provided salvation. It's offered as a gift by his grace. But it has to be received by faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. To believe and be saved. Paul, as he preached the gospel, he could talk about that God had pleased God through the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. And it just comes down to this point. Are you prepared to rest on Christ? Because that's what it's talking here. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And thou shalt be saved, or to believe on him to eternal life. The soul that puts their trust in him enters into life. And tonight, wouldn't it be wonderful if someone here was, or listening online, I don't know who, what your heart is thinking even at this minute, but you could be saved, you could be converted, you could be on the way to heaven. On a moment of time, if you're just to put your trust in Christ, a great Savior. Do you know what Paul thought about the wonderful plan of salvation. He just explodes in verse number 17. Now unto the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. And he just thought over the great plan of salvation. It burst forth as praise. He starts with thanksgiving, where we started our reading. He ends with praise, or a doxology, praise to God. The King Eternal, the Sovereign One. There is no one greater than the Savior we present. There's no one else you can appeal to for a higher authority than the man that we're presenting to you tonight, the man who went to the cross, God's own Son, who gave his life upon the cross and died to put away sin. And so to the King Eternal, incorruptible, invisible, the only wise God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. No one greater. Is there anyone tonight, under the sound of my voice, is going to experience the great matter of conversion? Turning from God, from idols, turning to God from idols, to serve a living and true God. Turning like Saul of Tarsus did on the Damascus road, from going against Christ to serving him faithfully the rest of his life. Turning like the man on the cross beside the Savior, from railing upon Christ at the beginning to trusting him before he died. That's conversion. That's what sets people on the road to heaven, taking you off the broad way and onto the narrow way. And so tonight, I trust that there might be one who would be prepared, as that verse says, to believe on him to life eternal. That's the goal. That's the prize. Life eternal. If you're converted, if you're saved, if you belong to Christ. I trust it might be so. Shall we pray? Our Father, we commend thy word to thee, and each one who has heard a little of thy word this evening. We pray, Father, that it might reach a heart, that thou wouldst open a heart. We think of Lydia long ago, and the Lord opened her heart to receive the word. And so we leave the seed of the word with thee, and pray for thy blessing upon it this evening, as we commend our way to thee and give thanks in the Lord Jesus' precious name. Amen. We'll just sing two verses to close our meeting. Number 252, number 252, we'll sing the first and the last verses only, remaining seated. O wondrous grace that found a plan to rescue guilty fallen man and ease him of his load, and find a ransom in the Son to save the sinner lost undone and meet the claims of God. And verse 5, and oh, what folly to refuse such wondrous grace, such blessed news, so pure, unasked for, love. Accept it, it is freely given, this wondrous, perfect grace of heaven, and all its fullness prove. These two verses, remaining seated, and our meeting's over, and we thank you for your attendance.
O wondrous grace that found a plan to rescue the fallen man that is in all his own, and farther west within the sun to save the sinner lost undone and meet the claims of God. perfect grace.